This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vasquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vasquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 364, a podcast that puts it all together, that connects the dots between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. In fact, looking at the very fabric of our being through one of the most ancient of all spiritual lenses, Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. This Armadox look is yours for the leaping, for the taking, for the walking. So take a next step with us. Let's do it. Well, good morning. It is a beautiful spring morning here. I'm at the Epostle East Studio. That is in Pasadena, California. Just a beautiful day, blue skies. I went for a dentist appointment. Didn't have a good checkup this morning. No, it wasn't good. I won't even go there right now, and I do feel it. It is hurting. So one side of my mouth is going to be messed up for this podcast, but so what? You're understanding, right? And I'll just blame it either on your speakers or my microphone. But my mouth is hurting, so bear with me for a little bit. Wanted to start off today's podcast with some thoughts about what's going on. Interestingly enough, well, within the Armenian church community, but not the one you're thinking about. Now, you know what? We're getting ready for the eighth year. We're going to be starting our eighth year of podcasting, The Next Step. And we never imagined we'd go this long, but here we are. Every week we come to you with this Next Step podcast. So we were talking the other day and had an opportunity to kind of like focus in on where we want to take the eighth year. And it's really coming back to those three pillars that we had. You know, we start off the show by saying what our mission is. And it's really important, the disenfranchised. We have so many people that are disenfranchised. I run into them every single day of my life. So many people come up to me, well, we like the Armenian church, we feel Armenian church, but you know what? We don't go. It doesn't talk to us. But, you know, we feel connected somehow, you know. The neophytes, these are people who have found spirituality in Orthodoxy, but are just coming around to putting it all together, connecting the dots. And, of course, those people who are searching. There's so many people who are searching, and they need just an opportunity to open up. Last night, it was really, really an interesting talk. We did a Quest for Peace seminar at the Burbank Mall, where the 100-year journey is now residing. We put together this incredible show called The 100-Year Journey. It's a portal. It's a spiritual portal. And it was so well received when it was at the Zorayan Museum that they gave us there was an offer at the Burbank, California Mall. And we've been there now for 2 or 3 weeks. And so last night we had a presentation, and it should be up on YouTube probably tonight, maybe if not tonight, maybe tomorrow. We'll make sure that there's a link today to, let me just write that down. Okay, there will be a link to our YouTube page. Do check out the In His Shoes YouTubes. It should be there. Probably won't be there before this podcast goes out, but do check it out. It's interesting because both Gregory Baylarian and myself, we spoke about it. And, you know, he comes from a Buddhist tradition, and he was sharing some of the Buddhist ideology. And I presented my background and in Armodoxy. And really, it's so wild how everything just really is seamlessly connected. You know, you don't have to make an effort to say, well, look, this is what the Buddhists say, this is what the Christians say, and here they intersect. No, you don't need to do that. It just naturally intersects. It naturally flows. And this is what we got. The reaction is, and you'll see it when you watch it. I mean, people say that, okay, we're searching and we're finding something in Armodoxy that's just wild. It just connects the dots between everything. And that's the beauty of Armodoxy. It is so universal. It is not about just a group of people. It's really something that can be applied across the board. So, and we felt this last night. So going back to the idea that we have these three pillars, okay, the neophytes, the disenfranchised and those who are searching. Okay, how do we put this all together and what's our programming? So we've been talking about what the programming for the eighth year is going to be all about. And interestingly enough, when we get to those disenfranchised, why are these people disenfranchised? Well, because of the ethnic makeup and sometimes because of the inability to speak or understand in the language of the church. And these are not just simple things like go out and learn a language. It's beyond just learning a language. It's about actually having that faith talk to you, talk to your spirit. And this is where I want to go with this, because just this, just yesterday, actually, on Facebook, there was a very, very interesting discussion. And I'll tell you why it was so interesting. It wasn't from the usual sources, from the usual cast of characters. And if you've been involved in any ethnic church, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And this is not just about the Armenian church, it's about the Greek church, about the Russian church, about any of the ethnic, quote-unquote, ethnic Orthodox churches. There's always this idea of where does ethnicity end and where does faith begin? Where does faith begin? Where does faith end and where does ethnicity or that nation building begin? And here's the situation. For in particular, when you go into the Armenian church, you understand that without the Armenian church, the nation would have had no life. I mean, it was the church that gave the alphabet, and the alphabet was done for a specific reason for the faith, to translate the scriptures so that the faith can be transmitted to the people. So subsequently, because we had an alphabet, which was created for the faith, we now have a language, a means of preserving also not only the faith, but now preserving the nation. So the nation comes along. So all of a sudden you have this interesting scenario where you've got a nation, an ethnic population that exists thanks to a religious institution. And the two are mixed so well, blended so well, that it's hard to separate at this point. And there's always this discussion. Where are our priorities? Are we a national church? Are we for the Armenian people? Is there a life outside of the Armenian people? Is the goal of the church to preserve the Armenian nation? Or is the goal of the church the goal of the Christian church? Namely, that we are here to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, in very, very simple terms. And this has always been a point of contention, especially in the last century, because since the creation of the diaspora, I mean, think about it, before the genocide, I mean, Armenians were living, it was relatively a homogenous group of people, right? You lived in your village, you had your Armenian church, and the Armenian church was still, yeah, there were a few Catholic splinter groups, there were a few Protestants, but let's go back a couple hundred years, okay? It was basically a homogenous group, and the church was central to it. Well, now, in a pluralistic society, with globalization, and just geographically, we're all over the world, the church has taken on a different role. It has been the center. And no matter where the diaspora has gone, the centerpiece has been the church. Okay, so think about that now. Okay, we've got a bunch of Armenians leave their country and they go somewhere else, and the first thing they create is this structure called the church. Well, naturally, people are going to rally around that building, and this is going to become the center. So all of a sudden, the church is now the center of that ethnic population, namely the Armenians or the Greeks or the Russians, wherever they may be in diaspora. Okay, so it's easy to get these things confused. All of my life, I've heard this discussion and have even participated in many, many dialogues about what is the mission of the Armenian Church. And here's what was interesting about yesterday's experience. It was done in Armenian. Namely, it was a group of people whose primary language was Armenian, who are first generation. They have just arrived. And they are now questioning what is the purpose of the church. Is it the entire church? Is it the universal Catholic Church that we're talking about? In other words, does it have a mission outside of Armenian people, or is it to the Armenian people? And they were engaged in a very, very healthy dialogue. And what was interesting to me is these are things that we had talked about 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, and it has now found a new audience. And I realized that, you know, these are not things that are going to be solved. It's part of the reality of living in diaspora. You're living in a diaspora. It's an unnatural state. You are basically considering yourself a visitor no matter what. Yes, there are different opportunities to extend your roots and to become part of that society, but basically you are a visitor and you feel that, and that's why these questions come up. And I think that this kind of dialogue is going to continue to come up as new people come in and they start experiencing the church. But it begs the question, because now we're talking about, well, how do we deal with the disenfranchised? Those people who feel like the church is not speaking to them, is not giving them their spiritual nourishment. And we come to an interesting group of people, because this is, I think, probably the majority within the Armenian church, quote unquote. When I say Armenian church, I'm talking about people who identify that this is their church, even though they have absolutely no spiritual bounds. And you all know them. We all know hundreds of people like that, okay, who will attend from Easter to Easter, Christmas to Christmas, people who feel no problem labeling themselves as Armenian Christian, part of the Armenian Orthodox, Armenian Apostolic Church, but never feeling like they have any obligation to it, but certainly will take their child there to be baptized, certainly will want to be married in that church, and definitely when they die, they would like a minister, they would like a priest of the church to come and offer those final words, for whatever comfort may be left for the remaining people. It's an identity. It's a connection. It's wild. You don't find that in other people. People in, let's say, in the Protestant community will say, well, what do you believe? If you don't believe it, there's no reason for you to come to my church. You know, it doesn't make sense for me to. But somehow in the Armenian or in any of the ethnic communities, you're part of it just by the accident of birth itself. Now, I'm not talking about the ABCs, the Armenians by choice. Those are people that have said that, you know, I find something beautiful there and I want to become part of that. And those are probably more valuable at this point because these are people who are getting it, so to speak. But those who are who take it for granted that this is, you know, they're born into it. Basically, familiarity is now breeding contempt, and you're seeing contempt for the church by not participating. So it's an interesting discussion that has been around since the time of the diaspora, since the diaspora was created after the genocide, but it's interesting to see it in its new evolution, in its new form. And I'm following it rather with great interest, because first of all, it reminds me of my life, of the struggles that we've had, and it also points to a direction that we need to take. And I think this is going to be really our eighth year of concentration. It will be on that disenfranchised group of people and how we bring about Ormodoxy, the basic faith, without the quote-unquote hoopla. Is that possible? Can we do it? Well, we want to believe we can. Otherwise, why are we working for this? But it can come out. And I hope you'll bear with us as we get to that. I'm going to come back after the song of the day, have some more stuff to talk to you about. Let's enjoy this one. Karin Margaryan, two pianos, that's called. I hope you liked it. Something a little bit different. We're talking about, well, definitions, right? About definitions of who we are. Two different pianos coming from two different sides, right? Playing an Armenian tune. Why is it on this Armenian Orthodoxy show we're playing Armenian music? These are questions that we have, you know. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that song. It kind of like lets us ponder a little longer. And kind of moves us forward, okay?
A young girl in a parking lot was preaching to a crowd, singing sacred songs and reading from the Bible. Well, I told her I was lost, and she told me all about the Pentecost, and I seen that girl was the road to my survival.
Last week was Pentecost. I spoke with you a little bit about Pentecost, about the spiritual dimension of it. I want to talk to you about the practical dimension, about the business side of Pentecost. What do I mean by that? Well, business is a means by which we get our work done, whatever it is. I know business usually in our head puts flowcharts, puts together graphs and bottom lines and numbers, finances. But those are all part of business. They are ways that business is accomplished. But business basically allows us to do the work that is at hand. And if you think of Pentecost in this manner, what was Pentecost all about? About Jesus setting up his church so that his work could be done. And he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What does he build his church on? He builds his church on the confession of the centrality of Christ. It is the one that Peter professes so remarkably in front of the other disciples. In other words, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God, and blessed are you, Peter. On this profession, I will build my church, says Jesus. Now, what is that church? Is it just for the sake of building something? No, it's to do his work. And so he commissions this group of disciples, these students, to now become apostles, those who are sent. And they go to all the parts of the world to share this message. I'm having some kind of, what is that, Ken? Okay, thank you. Got rid of it. I was hearing something. There was some kind of disturbance. A disturbance in the force, yes. Anyway, thanks for taking care of that. Okay, so we were talking about these. Now these disciples have become apostles, and they're taking the message throughout the world. And they need certain tools. For instance, they need language skills, right? And this is the power of the Holy Spirit giving them the utterance and giving them the ability to communicate with people. Okay, so in other words, the business plan, so to speak, is how do you deliver the message of Christ? We have a means by which to do it, and the church is basically that means to deliver that structure, to deliver that message by way of taking the scriptures, of producing the scriptures, making the Bibles, and getting the preachers ready, training the preachers, getting the seminary so that it has the pastors, it has the people in charge, and the infrastructure builds up. Like it or not, that infrastructure is going to build up, right, as more people come in. It's one of those things, you know, whereas psychiatry is just the opposite, or it should be. Psychologists, I remember toward the end of my training in psychology, one of my last teachers said, remember that your job is to eliminate the need for you. Yes, that's right. Now think about it in terms of the church. It's just the opposite. It's to increase more and more so that basically you build up. And like it or not, that infrastructure is going to build up as well. You're going to need your systems and your classes within that business model. So you have your hierarchy. Naturally, you have your deacons, you have your priests, you have your bishops, and you have a Catholicos, a pope on top of everybody. And this is how it developed. And in a sense, it's good. It means that it's healthy, it's living, and it's growing. Now, you know, you're going to get more people into it. You have more chances for problems, for corruption. You have more chances for difficulties, challenges, let's call them, okay? And this is true of any organization, but the church in particular, as it's growing, because that's the commandment, grow your church. It's not to eliminate yourself. No, grow it. So you're going to grow and you're going to get more and more people. It's very important inside that business model to always place what is the direction. Where are you going with that? What is the purpose of it? And keep that business model, keep that purpose right in front of you. For instance, I don't know if it's still, I'm sure it still is. What is Microsoft's mission statement? Windows on every desk. That's it. That's how simple it was. I'm going back maybe about 15, 20 years. I remember that specifically. There are other operating systems, but Windows has to be on every desk. Now let's continue this this metaphor, okay, of the business. Okay, you've got a business. The church is the means by which the message is transferred, okay? It gives you the means, it gives you the support, it gives you the structure, the hierarchy, okay? But what is the mission? Well, I've shared with you, to me, the mission is very simple. It's the same mission that Jesus Christ said, this is why I have come. And we read that right after his baptism and his temptation in the wilderness, he comes to the people and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, set the oppressed free, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is it. Now, you could extrapolate and you could say this is what this means, that blindness is not just the eyeballs, but it's people who are living the zombified life, okay, just moving around without any direction, and so on. You could read into it. But this is the mission. This is what I came for. And as the body of Christ, we have a mission to follow what Christ did and support that. Not only support it, but to continue it. And the church becomes that body that does the work of Christ. Very important to keep that in focus, to keep that mission in front of you. Many times we get on the church bandwagon and we look at it as this beautiful bridge that connects this life to all of eternity, that connects us to the divine, right? We get on that church and you look at, and it's a bridge. It's a beautiful bridge between this world, the temporal existence, and the divine existence, right? You get on the bridge and it's so beautiful. Yeah, it's got jingles. It's got gold. It's got lights. It's got candles. It's got hymns. It's got mystery. And you say, hey, this is a nice place to be. I like this church. And then you fail to see that this church, this bridge, has a function. It's got to get you from one side to the next. And when we lose sight of that, what happens is that the church becomes more important than the function it serves. Nah, got it? Now, all this being said, yesterday I was doing some research for something else. We'll talk about that some other time. But I was on this website for Dick Bowles. You've probably heard of his book, What Color Is Your Parachute? It's about changes that we go through in life, about jobs, about careers, and so on. And I was looking into a few different things. But this story hit me, and I wanted to share it with you because I just thought it was really beautiful, okay? So I want to read you. This is right off of his website. I'll put a link on his on our show notes so you could check it out. Beautiful, beautiful story. You probably, as I go through, you'll probably guess the ending, but let me share it with you, okay? One summer, an American investor banker was vacationing in Mexico in a small coastal village. He was down at the docks as a small boat was docking. The banker noted that on the deck of the small boat were several large yellowfin tuna and only one young Mexican fisherman. He addressed the fisherman in English, which he understood, extended his compliments on the quality of those fish, and asked how long it took to catch them. The fisherman replied, only 2 or 3 hours. The banker then asked why he fished so briefly. The fisherman said, 2 or 3 hours of such work gave him enough money to support his family's immediate needs. The banker said, but what do you do with the rest of your time? The fisherman said, my day is I sleep late, then fish a little, then play with my children, take siestas with my wife Maria, then stroll into the village each evening where I sip wine and play guitar with my amigos. The banker saw an opportunity to be helpful. He said, back in the States, I am an investor banker. If you wouldn't mind a little advice, I think I could help you with your business. The fisherman looked curious. What would you advise? Well, said the banker, were I in your shoes, I would spend more time fishing each day. You would eventually be able to buy a bigger boat with your increased proceeds. And then what? Asked the fisherman. Well, with the proceeds you would receive from using the bigger boat, you would eventually be able to buy several such boats. You'd have a fleet, And with that clout, you could even get rid of the middlemen and sell directly to the processor. Eventually, you could open your own cannery, leaving you controlling the product, the processing, and the distribution. And then what? Said the fisherman. Well, at that point, you could afford to live anywhere. You could put your wife and your kids in a luxurious house or condo, say in New York, and just enjoy all the fruits of your vast enterprise.
The fisherman said, that sounds very interesting, but how long would it take?
The American replied, I think you could easily achieve this within 15 to 20 years.
And what it then? Asked the fisherman.
The banker laughed triumphantly. That's the best part. When the time is right, you take your firm public, and immediately you become very rich. In fact, you would make millions.
Millions? Very interesting. And what then? Asked the fisherman.
The banker thought for a moment. Well, gee, at that point you could afford to retire. A wonderful retirement, in fact. You could move to a small coastal fishing village where you would sleep late, fish a little, play with your grandchildren, take siesta with your wife Maria, stroll to the village in the evenings where you would sip wine and play your guitar with your amigos.
That's it. I love that story. Think about it in the Pentecost process of establishing this church. What is our purpose? What is our goal? Where do we get from A to B? How do we get from A to B? Once you've figured out how to get what your goal is, you know how to put it all together, and you follow that plan. Anyway, I'm throwing this out really, not so much to give an answer, but to share with you some of the processes that we go through. We go through daily in our lives about what we want to do in our lives, how we want to get from one place to the other. But also, as a church, it's very important for us to understand, as a church, we do have a mission. And that mission is to get from point A to point B. And what's the process? What is that point B? If that point B is something that we already have, don't recreate something just so you can have point B already. You're already at that point. I'm going to leave you with that thought right now, okay? Just leave you with that thought. It's more of this this mental exercise today about what we're doing, what our purpose is as a church, as a people, as a family, as a community, as a self. What is our purpose? I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
That about brings us to the end of today's show. I want to remind you that we appreciate all of your support, and it's necessary to have that support if we're going to continue and move this ministry forward. We appreciate all of your prayers, all of the forwards that you do to our messages, all the people that you tell about this show and this ministry. And God bless you for all the work that you do out there. It's really a people's ministry, people coming together and understanding that we do have a purpose and a mission, getting from point A to point B and enjoying the ride in between. That's the Armadox ride. Hey, listen, I'm going to be up in Fresno this Friday. I'm going to be at the St. Paul Armenian Church. If you happen to be in that area, it's a freebie. Come by and see us. I'm going to be with my friend, Demostos Jobanyan. We're going to be talking about the sainthoods of the Armenian martyrs, the canonization process, and the mystery of sainthood. If you're in that area, please do stop by and give a holler. Let me know who you are. I'd love to meet with you. Listen, I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of the crew who puts this together, on behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vasquez, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.